Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would speak your word to us, that we would truly hear your word, and that it would bear fruit in our lives to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. And as you're being seated, kids, if you'd like to participate, you can head to the back for your special program, and you can meet your teachers at the back if you're going to participate. Now, I will just tell you, I have the greatest dog in the world. You might think you do. You're wrong. I do. His name is Debo, and we've had him since about Thanksgiving this year, last year. He's about 5 years old, we don't know for sure, and he's almost 80 pounds. I am the only person in the family who can take him on walks. This little pit bull boxer mix of sorts pulls so hard in different directions that I am literally the only one in my family who can give him walks. But I am learning how to train him to walk better, and now that he's learning, it's so much more fun for both of us to go on these walks. Now, there is a sense in which, now, please understand, I don't try to explain this to my dog, but there is a sense in which I think, you know, I don't know what your life was like before this, but now that you're in a loving family, Debo, now that you're a part of this family and you get to go on these walks, you need to learn to walk in an appropriate manner. You, Debo, need to learn to follow the master. Now, our reading today from Ephesians chapter 4 does not describe us as dogs, but it does say that we need to learn to walk worthy of who we now are in Jesus. We have been welcomed into God's family in Jesus, so we must then live in a manner fitting of that calling. It's not walk in a way so that you will become worthy, but walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you've already received in Jesus. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling which to which you have been called by Jesus. Live in a manner worthy of the Lord who has called you. So with that, would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4? You're welcome to use your bulletin, but I do encourage you to open up an actual physical Bible. I'm sure you all brought yours with you, so you could use that one. But if you'd like to use the one under the seat in front of you, it's page 977 in the Bibles under the seat in front of you. But Ephesians chapter 4. And this morning we're going to look at three ways in this passage that we are called to walk worthy. Three ways that we are told to do that. Now, there are more than three in this passage, so you can be thankful that I will limit it to three, because three is a good number for a sermon. Recently, you all teased me when I one time did seven. I remember, you teased me about that. But I will have you know that my dad happened to be in the room when I preached and listed seven. My dad, one of our bishops, and he let me know that he has one time did 17. So seven was nothing. But three ways that we are in this passage said to walk, that we need to walk worthy of the calling that we have received in Jesus. So first, walk worthy by being unified. Walk worthy of Jesus by being unified. So if you look at verse 2, walk worthy with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Through what God has done for us in Jesus, which we receive in faith, through that we are joined into his one body, the one church. We are united together in Jesus. So, as Christians, we must be eager to maintain that unity. We need to give everything that we've got to remain united together in Jesus. Now, this cannot be unity at all costs because it's unity in Jesus. If you give up Jesus, there's no unity together anymore. It's unity in the gospel. But as those who are united together in Jesus, we must be unified, united in him above all other divisions. So right now, both secular scientists and engineer types like Jaron Lanier, as well as Christian theologians and psychologists like the Anglican Greg Gay from Vancouver, among others, are currently, right now, Christians and non-Christians alike, are currently sounding the alarm of what our technology, and especially social media, is doing to us right now in this season. What it's doing to our character and our souls. And recently, people like these have made clear that social media is intentionally polarizing us. And it's destroying our ability to show empathy for one another. And these writers and researchers describe the way that social media algorithms are designed specifically to give you a consistent diet of polarizing content. Lanier points out that when you go on social media, what you see is specifically designed to show you the best of what you already believe and the worst of what others believe. It's designed to fit perfectly with your individual views, or it's chosen to be diametrically opposed to what you believe. So as one of our Anglican bishops has said, this leads to a culture where we are consistently reinforced in believing the very best of the virtues and motives and insights of our own camp, and the very worst of those evil people who disagree. In fact, our culture increasingly urges you to demonstrate your commitment to your cause by how viciously you attack those you oppose. So, for example, in our current environment, if you are pro-mask or anti-mask, social media is specifically picking what will keep you coming back, what you already agree with, and those idiots on the other side. And as Christians, we too have been very, very divided in the midst of this season. I was talking with a pastor friend of mine recently, and he told me that in a recent church leaders meeting in his church, someone asked him what he and the church will do if there's another huge surge in their area of COVID cases. And this was a number of weeks ago now. And my friend told that man and then recounted to me, he said, "Honestly, I think I'll quit." Now, he does not want at all to quit because of a virus or the challenges that come with it, but he does not believe, he genuinely doesn't think that he can handle the disunity from Christians again. See, friends, we are called to unity in Christ. We are called to do absolutely everything that we can to maintain the unity of the church in Christ. We never compromise the gospel. There are essentials that we never compromise on. And in Christ, we work with everything we've got to maintain the unity of the church for the honor and glory of Jesus. We don't leave to go find people who think like we do so we can be unified with them. In Jesus, we unite together in Him, and we accept that we will think differently about a variety of things, even things that we believe passionately. But there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God that we worship together in unity. The church is called to unity in Jesus. And it's okay, if we're honest, to recognize that we perhaps have not done that especially well recently. So we need to step back and ask for God's forgiveness and then commit together to maintain unity in Jesus. So we walk worthy of Jesus by remaining unified in Him. Second, walk worthy of Jesus by using your gifts for ministry. By using your gifts for ministry. So as Christians in Christ, we must be unified together. So there is that unity, and at the same time, we're also given very different gifts to use for His purposes. We're different people. That's part of the beauty. We're not all the same. So if you look at verse 6, "There is one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when He ascended on high, He led a host of captives and He gave gifts to His people." God as Lord of all, has chosen to give gifts to his people. He's given us abilities and resources and special spiritual gifts. He's given us leaders in the church to help us discover and develop and deploy those gifts. And he did that with the goal of, as it says in verse 12, to equip all of us for the work of ministry, for building up the church. God has given each one of us gifts to use in ministry to build up his body. We walk worthy of the calling that we have in Jesus by using the gifts that he has given us to build up the church and to serve the world in his name. Now, one of the challenges that a church like Holy Cross experiences as we grow, as more people get connected, and as more and more people, like myself, who were not here from the beginning. These are good problems to have, but as these things happen, a challenge for a congregation like us faces is it becomes easy to come and step in and not use the gifts that God's given us. It becomes easy to come and worship and go home without ever investing our gifts in the life and ministry of the congregation. That's a challenge that we have to overcome. Everybody, sort of our size and growing, has to experience that. I'm not saying this because I want warm bodies to just fill volunteer roles. This is not a plea for that. But because part of you personally following and walking in a manner worthy of Jesus is using the gifts that he's given you, that he's entrusted to you. That's why they were given. Now, I will say that from my experience, there tend to be two main ways that this goes wrong, this idea of walking worthy of the Lord using the gifts that he's given us. I've seen two main ways that this tends to go wrong, using our gifts in the church. And the first is just very simply not being proactive about identifying the gifts that God has given us. If we don't identify the gifts that God has given us and entrusted to us, then we can't figure out how to use them. Your pastors can help you with that, but this needs to be something intentional from you to try to identify what gifts God's given you, and we can help figure out how to use them. You need to be proactive in identifying how God has gifted you, and this is part of walking in a manner worthy of Jesus, learning to use the gifts that he's given you. And if we don't use them, our muscles atrophy. So we need to identify the gifts that God's given us and use them. And one way that that goes wrong is by not bothering to identify what they are and therefore not using them. But the other main way that I've seen using our gifts go wrong is this. Now, you probably cannot tell by looking at me at this point in my life, but I actually enjoy going to the gym and exercising. And there was a gym in a previous... You're laughing too much at that. But there was a gym in another state where I used to be a member, and there were multiple genuine competitive bodybuilders who exercised there. These men were absolutely enormous. Now, I know you've seen pictures, but if you have never experienced working out next to a competition bodybuilder, let me just tell you, it is insane. But what do those men do with all those muscles? Please hear me, I'm not criticizing bodybuilders. They can do what they want. But what do they do with all those muscles? They pose. They stand there and show them off. I'm sure they can come running and carry more groceries into the car than I can, but other than that, all those muscles are used for posing, not using. Our gifts from God are not for posing to make us look good, but for using for his kingdom. They're not to make us feel good about our wonderful talents, but they're given by God to be used for others. So how has God gifted you that you can use for ministry? If you sing well or play an instrument, consider using that gift in the choir or the praise team in the other service. If that's a way that God has gifted you, use it. If you have talents working with children, consider offering that gift in ministry here. If you are one of those absolutely crazy people who understand the world of visual art, you can tell I'm not one of them. How can you use that for ministry? If you love this congregation deeply and are outgoing, consider using those gifts as an usher or a greeter. If you have gifts in making lots of money, how will you be generous, both with those gifts, but also with the skills that you have? If you have administrative gifts and just love organization, offer that gift to the office. If you are great with talking with people, offer that gift so that when we do outreach ministry and help engage people into the life of the congregation who participate, how has God gifted you? How can you use that for ministry? We walk worthy of Jesus by being unified together and by using the gifts that he has given us for ministry. Third, walk worthy of Jesus by being mature in the faith. We walk worthy of Jesus by being unified. We walk worthy of Jesus by using our gifts for ministry. And third, by being mature in the faith. So if you look at verse 13, he writes, "Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, that is to maturity, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ." Maturity in Jesus is one of the ends that we are moving toward. We are not supposed to remain, sort of the language here is, as perpetual adolescents in the faith. We're to actively grow and mature. And one piece of that that's highlighted here is maturity in our thinking, in our knowledge, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Part of maturity in Jesus, part of walking in a worthy manner, is to train our minds and train our hearts to follow his teaching. Not ignorant and carried along by perpetually new ideas, but solidly grounded in the knowledge of God and of his word so that we can test and discern what is true. This is a huge reason that we have spiritual growth classes between services. Our new slate of classes begins next Sunday between our services. For you that come to this service, it's very easy because you just stay after, but they start at 10:20 between the services, classes for all ages. But these classes are, among other things, designed to help train our minds and our hearts to understand and to follow God and his word so that we will not be tossed to and fro. So that we can better be grounded in God and in his word, the Bible. This is part of Christian maturity, head and heart learning, so that we can be grounded in Jesus. So we walk worthy of Jesus by training our minds to understand and to follow. No matter how long you've been a Christian, you and I need intentionally to learn more so that we can follow better. So, for example, do you read? Well, we have a pastor-recommended section in our library, and we're actually working on a recommended reading list for a whole variety of topics. Read good books that challenge your mind and help you to better understand the faith that we profess. And commit faithfully to participating in spiritual growth classes beginning next week. Some of these are more head-focused, some of them are more heart-focused, but both are designed to train us in maturity so that we can discern truth from falsehood and so that we can follow Jesus more faithfully. So join in. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we are called into his family. That's the calling that we have received. And as those called and welcomed in, we are challenged now to walk in a manner worthy of that calling. And we do that by living in faithful, committed unity together. We walk worthy by identifying our God-given gifts and then using them for ministry. And we walk worthy by growing more and more in the maturity of the faith. In loving response to God's grace to us, in calling us to himself, let us then as his people walk in a manner worthy of that calling. In unity together in Jesus, in using our gifts for ministry, and in growing in maturity in the faith to the honor and glory of Jesus. Amen.